Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents High Ten, an inspiring story about building great team culture, by Martin Rooney, narrated by Eric Jason Martin. Foreword. Bottom line, great leaders focus on establishing great cultures. In High Ten, Martin Rooney tells an inspiring story about how to build a great team with a great culture, and he shares lessons and insights that will work anywhere, at home, in the military, on sports teams, or in corporate America. In the Army, our leaders are expected to provide purpose, direction, and motivation to their soldiers, and as commanders, they are explicitly responsible for the culture of their units. But the very best commanders find a way for those in the unit to also own the culture, so it's everyone's responsibility. Martin drives this point home, and then some. Throughout my Army career, I've learned and observed that when building a culture, the foundation is character and values. These are essential to building trust, which leads to cohesive teams. Teams where people feel like they are part of something, not just in something. Teams that are loyal to one another and also to their values. Teams that are disciplined and whose standards exemplify excellence, and they hold one another accountable in meeting or exceeding those standards. Doing otherwise would be an acceptance of mediocrity, and that doesn't equate to winning on the battlefield, playing field, or in life. Strong cohesion also results in extraordinary resiliency, and teams that are able to absorb tough blows and bounce back even stronger. We all know what it's like to be on a great team with a great culture, because it is enjoyable, rewarding, and they win. In High Ten, Martin reinforces all of these lessons and more through a story where two teams, one athletic and one business, grow from good to great by focusing on their culture. While I was serving as the commandant of cadets at the United States Military Academy, our primary and enduring focus was on developing leaders of character. For any future leader, there's much to learn in this book. From appreciating why people are the centerpiece of your culture, to ways to empower your people and reap the value of their initiative, to understanding and leveraging the three B's of culture: beings, who we are, beliefs, what we stand for, and behaviors, how we do it. And, finally, to recognizing the indicators of good culture. Leaders will also learn the significance of culture crusaders, who perpetuate the culture, and to deeply examine their culture custodians, coveting the culture keepers and rooting out the culture vultures. As I read this book, I highlighted numerous passages, took notes, and reflected on my own efforts at creating cultures over the last 28 years of service. You can never stop studying leadership. It's a lifelong journey of education, experiences, and reflection. Throughout High Ten, Martin also builds on his previous book, Coach to Coach, and reinforces that great leaders must also see themselves as coaches. He shares important insights on how to coach, but also explains how a coach gets the whole team to steward the culture. It starts with the coach setting the foundation, the vision, standards, and expectations, and doing it alongside the players to maximize their ownership. Coaches then focus relentlessly on driving the team to achieve these goals. Martin also subtly reinforces that leadership and coaching are more art than science. The X's and O's and tactics matter, but he reminds us that, ultimately, it's the culture that determines success. As Martin writes, your competitive advantage is culture. If you want to learn to be a great coach and how to develop a great culture, then this book is for you. Brigadier General Curtis A. Buzzard, U.S. Army. The views expressed in the foreword are those of the author and do not reflect the official position of the United States Military Academy, Department of the Army, or Department of Defense. Introduction. In today's war for attention, culture is not simply a buzzword. It's your biggest competitive advantage. Before you worry about building your next program, product, or membership base, be more concerned with building a great culture first. As businesses and organizations learned during the pandemic, when you have a great culture, you are more prepared for big challenges. When you don't, you must be prepared to have more of them. Everyone wants to feel both appreciated and part of something bigger, to feel part of a cool culture. The way a leader creates this special environment is by creating a culture based in trust, purpose, and fun. But you may have heard that culture isn't taught, it's caught. High 10 is going to fly in the face of that statement and teach you about culture. As you will learn, you don't get the culture for which you hope, wait, or wish. You get the one you design, implement, and maintain. And beware, if you don't design your culture, someone else will. This book is the sequel to Coach to Coach. That book contained my philosophy of how to be a great coach and leader. In High 10, I build on that information and teach you how a coach creates and leads a great culture. If you liked the easy-to-read style of Coach to Coach, you will enjoy following the journeys of Brian Knight and Marcus Chase 25 years later. Among all the positive feedback about Coach to Coach, the only critique was that the readers wanted more. More depth into the characters, more lessons, and more stories. I believe this book has made good on those requests. High 10 is a business book, a sports book, and a motivational leadership book, too. Although High 10 is a fictional story, the contents of this book are not theory. The information inside was produced through decades of real-life trial and error. Having helped build the cultures of two global businesses that have lasted a combined 40 years, this book was written so you enjoy the same success without making the same mistakes. Everything I have learned about culture from working with top professional and college sport teams, military organizations, and Fortune 500 companies is waiting for you inside. To be clear, building or changing a culture can be difficult. Whether you are starting a business or already leading a company, team, or family, High 10 provides you with a working roadmap of how to navigate your current cultural challenges. Culture is not a one-time event. It's a never-ending process. And High 10 is your blueprint of how to build a culture that not only stands for something, but also stands the test of time. The question is not whether the culture lessons inside this book work, but whether you will work them. As any culture coach will tell you, what you permit, you promote. In addition to helping you learn about people, High 10 will also teach you that there is no culture without communication. Do you have a team, leadership, or culture question? Do you have a favorite story or idea from either book? Write me at martin@coachinggreatness.com, and I look forward to starting a conversation. I hope that you enjoy this book, and, like Brian, Sam, and Marcus, that you never look at culture the same way again. Giving you a big High 10, Martin Rooney, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, 2021. Chapter 1. Trackside Diner.
"Sorry it's taken so long to get together, Coach. Great to see you," said Marcus.
"Come on, kid," responded Brian. "After your big professional career and now becoming the youngest head coach at this prestigious school, I should thank you."
"Yeah, right. As for youngest, I'm feeling my age. And without you, this wouldn't be possible."
"Don't go soft on me," Brian said. "You've got work ahead bringing this place back to glory, and trying to unseat me as the best head coach this place ever had."
"Whoa," exclaimed Marcus. "Is that what you call yourself? You know there have been legends here."
"I know. I didn't want you to think rebuilding this program's going to be easy. You're inheriting a losing program, and you aren't just inheriting the previous players, you're inheriting the previous problems, too."
"Thanks for the reminder," Marcus said.
"Remember, Marcus, that's what coaches do. Sometimes it's a pat on the back, and sometimes it's a kick in the pants. How's the move been?"
"Liz was nervous, but between my pro career and coaching, this is our fifth move in 24 years. She knows how it works. The kids are resilient and actually excited, which made the decision easier."
"That's great, and I can't wait to see them. Now the big question. How are you feeling?
Brian asked as he took another swig of beer. Well, coaching at my alma mater's a dream come true, and the big salary. But honestly, I'm scared. It's my first head job, and along with not feeling prepared, I feel pressured to win. It's not that the president and alumni aren't supportive, but I'm afraid to fail.
That fear's a good thing, said Brian.
Means you care. Beware of when you don't care anymore. That's when you'll wish for something to put fear in your gut. As Marcus listened, he realized his old coach was on his second beer, and that he'd been monopolizing the conversation.
How have you been, coach? What have you been up to?
Well, Brian sighed, not much. After Kelly passed and I got her things in order, I never got started again. The kids visit, but they've got their own lives in other places. We'll be together over the holidays, but I miss her so much.
She was the best, said Marcus.
Yeah, she was, kid, Brian said as he took another swig.
Enough of that. This is a reunion and a new chapter for you. Have you met the team? What are your biggest challenges?
Marcus answered, I haven't met with them yet, since I need to get my coaching staff secured first. I'll let some old staff go, but a few match my style.
And that style is?
You know me, coach, smiled Marcus. Like you, I love to fire people up with passion.
I know you, laughed Brian. Just wanted to make sure you did.
That'll be important during this process. It'll be tough to stay who you are, especially in the beginning.
That's why you'll be my most important staff member, coach.
Is this a paid position? Brian teased.
Paid? You have money, laughed Marcus. You want the job or what?
I don't know. I'm pretty busy, replied Brian.
What's the job title?
We could call you Coach of the Head Coach.
Seriously, I need your help. You've forgotten more things about coaching than I'll ever know.
Wouldn't you want to help this place win again?
You have good points, especially me knowing more than you, and I do like the title,
deliberated Brian.
Come on, don't do this to me. Just like your judo story, I need help making my weaknesses into strengths.
Geez, you remember that one, huh? Said Brian.
I remember them all. You got me started in coaching, so this is all your fault, Marcus said.
Let's do this together. If we pull this off, there might be a shirt in it for you.
I do like free gear.
Okay, kid, I'm in. Let's turn that fear into fun.
As Brian and Marcus ate, they talked about Marcus's decade playing in the pros, his family, and future ideas for his program.
As Brian offered his coaching wisdom, Marcus noticed his old coach downed a few more beers.
The rhythm of Brian and the waiter told Marcus that it wasn't Brian's first time drinking at trackside.
Brian paid the tab without Marcus seeing it. His old coach still had some moves left.
As they put on their winter jackets, Brian said, Say hi to Elizabeth and the kids. See you at my old, your new office next week.
Yes, coach.
And Marcus,
I am proud of you.
When he said those words, Marcus hugged Brian and whispered, Thanks, coach.
At that moment, Brian had a moment of deja vu. At the same table where he met his mysterious old coach years before, was seated a man with his head in his hands.
As Marcus headed out the door, Brian walked toward the table.
Excuse me, do you need any help? Brian asked.
Can I have a tuna melt? Said the man.
Brian laughed and said, Not that kind of help. I don't work here, but I recognize that look.
What look?
That look when you have a problem and don't know how to fix it, said Brian.
The man looked away and said, Nah, I'm good. I can handle it, thanks.
With a tuna melt?
No, a tuna melt isn't going to fix this problem, said the man, smiling back.
This one requires a bacon double cheeseburger.
Oh, that bad, huh?
I know the feeling. I used to sit in that same seat when I had issues.
After a long pause, as he wondered if the old man would go away, he asked,
If you don't work here, what do you do? I'm retired, but I used to help people fix their problems by helping them get where they wanted to go. People called me a consultant, answered Brian. Ah, I own a tech startup, and we've had our share of consultants. Good gig, if you ask me. You tell people ideas, and if they work, you look great. If they fail, you say they didn't do them right, the man replied. Brian paused as he pondered whether he should go away. Then he said, to learn something new, sometimes you gotta read an old book, kid. I'm not sure if you're too proud or too afraid to ask for help. Brian removed a gold-colored business card from his wallet. Since I can't decide, here's my card. The man read, Brian Knight, Culture Coach. Culture Coach? I never heard that before, said the man. Most people haven't, kid. That's why so many businesses fail. Sorry, I haven't been polite. It's been a tough day, and I don't usually meet people in diners. You should get out more, smiled Brian. My name's Brian. I'm Sam. Sam Rauchy. Nice to meet you, Sam, and good luck with your problem. If I were you, I'd stick with the tuna melt. First choices are often the right one. Thanks, Sam smiled. Before I go, I'll leave you with a question that always helped when I had troubles, offered Brian. Let's hear it, replied Sam. Ask yourself if you're unhappy about your dream come true. As Sam processed the question, Brian called goodbye to the trackside staff and left. Sam stared at the business card and took the first of many pieces of Brian's advice and went with the tuna melt. The race of life can do interesting things to people. All three men drove home alone that night. One was scared because he knew what he had to do. Another was stressed because he didn't have a clue. But the one who stopped off for a six-pack of beer didn't realize he was depressed because he thought he didn't have anything to do at all. One race in the middle. One race starting. One race almost run. Three heartbeats. Chapter 2. Make the Call. Sam awoke at 5:45 a.m. He didn't need an alarm clock because his stress woke him. By 6:05, he was showered, dressed, and out the door before his wife woke up. After a 20-minute commute, he arrived at his office. Sam liked being first to work because he felt safest in his office without having to talk to anyone. As he turned on his computer, he saw the business card that had been standing in between the keyboard keys for a week. He picked up the card and thought, how's an old man who still uses a business card going to help a tech company? Satisfied with his rationalization not to call, Sam returned the card and started working. At 7:40, Sam was startled by a rare event, a knock at his door. Hi, Sam. Dana, the head of the customer service division, was looking distressed. I know you're busy, but can we talk for a minute? Sure, Dana, replied Sam. Come in. Sam sat, but Dana remained standing. Before Sam could speak, Dana opened up. I'm sorry to tell you this, but a few things have me upset. I should have said something sooner, but I didn't want to jeopardize my job. Sam was stunned. Because of her show of emotion, he didn't know how to respond. Lucky for him, Dana wasn't finished talking. When I came to Stamina, I was quiet, but my work here brought me out of my shell. A few days ago, at a meeting, Rick belittled me in front of everyone. I know you're good friends, and Rick's okay as a person. I'm upset because he and a number of people here don't take Stamina seriously. People just don't care. And there's always arguments because we're all on different pages. What do you mean? Asked Sam. Well, for one, Rick and his sales team sell features we don't have. They'll tell a customer anything to get a deal, and I'm left looking bad when I can't support something we don't offer. And his team doesn't respect the office. I keep cleaning up the conference room, and that's not my job, answered Dana. When I tell the engineers the new ideas customers want, they blow me off, saying, that's impossible, or you don't understand. And when our remote staff conferences in, most don't turn on their cameras. It's depressing that nobody seems excited about stamina.
I'm glad you're sharing this, said Sam, trying to utilize techniques from a leadership class. And I'm sorry you feel this way.
That sentence didn't work how Sam intended. The final thing's the extra work you give me, Sam. I've made myself accessible at all times. When you fire out ideas to the group, I feel pressured to respond. It's too much. When I came on board, everyone was excited about powering the people who power businesses, but that feeling's gone. I wanted to share my feelings, and I also want to give my 30-day notice. I've grown here, but this isn't the place for me anymore. Dana finally broke down. This upset Sam, and like many things lately, he didn't know what to do. Until that moment, Sam hadn't noticed Dana's value or how much she cared. He didn't want her to quit. "Dana," Sam began, "I appreciate you talking to me about this. It's not your fault. I agree things have changed, but before you resign, let me try to fix things. You crying isn't a sign of weakness. It shows how much you care. You're valuable to Stamina, and I would hate to see you leave." Dana composed herself and said, "Thanks for listening. I want to stay, but I'm unsure anything will change. I'm sorry." "No, Dana, I'm the one who's sorry. Thanks for caring about Stamina." Dana smiled, nodded, and left. When Sam closed his door, the safety of his office was gone. He couldn't lose Dana after the latest capital raise. The only person he confided in was Rick, but this problem concerned him. Instead of debating whether to call the number on the card, he debated whether 8 a.m. was too early to call a stranger. Sam called.
"Hello, this is Brian Knight," answered the voice.
"Oh, hey, Mr. Knight, this is Sam Rauchy. We met at Trackside last week."
"Yes, of course, Sam. And please, call me Brian. Mr. Knight's my father."
"Yes, sir. I mean, Brian, is this an okay time to talk?"
"Sure, I've got time. I thought I'd hear from you. The way you looked the other night, you took longer than I expected."
"Well," Sam offered, "I took time thinking about the answer to your question, and I realized I'm unhappy about my dream come true."
"How so?"
"When we met, I'd just lost a dream deal with the university," said Sam. "Now I might lose a dream staff member, too. And the dream raise for what everyone calls my dream business has me down."
"Oh, I see. You'll learn that deals, money, and people will come and go. Dealing with them when they happen is the secret," said Brian.
Sam asked, "I've been wondering, what did you do as a consultant?"
"Well, I'd usually start with finding out everything about a company and then observe the company in action. Once I knew how a business operated, I'd present my findings and suggestions how to fix what was broken."
"And the company would fix its problems?" asked Sam.
"Not always," said Brian. "I'd often set up ongoing consulting to assess progress and give them more action items."
"Could you help a business like mine?"
"I don't know," replied Brian with a laugh. "You haven't told me about your business yet."
Sam spent 10 minutes covering Stamina's history as a sales and training company and its game-based software. Sam described Stamina's 3 capital raises since growing the business from a side hustle to a multi-million-dollar business. He shared about the pressure from his 30 employees, investors, and board of directors. Sam ended with his disconnection from the staff and how the recent holiday party was a disaster. After Sam finished, Brian said, "Thanks for the information. It takes guts to admit your problems. Be proud of that. Can I give a couple first impressions?"
"Sure.
First off, stop worrying about the past. That holiday party is ancient history, like the Boston Tea Party. Second, you need to adjust how your company treats its people. Your customer service person's a star, and you can't lose her."
"No, I can't," Sam confirmed.
"If you want to stop letting the past hold you hostage and improve in the future, then you must work on your greatest competitive advantage in the present, continued Brian.
Our tech?
No, answered Brian. You've already learned your product can be great and your business can still suffer. There are plenty of businesses with plenty of products and startup cash that fail. Your competitive advantage is culture.
Like the cultural differences of my staff?
Asked Sam.
Not entirely, but that's part of it. Culture goes beyond your country or ethnic background. Culture's everywhere. Cultures exist in sports teams and in businesses. Culture isn't a corporate buzzword. It's woven into everything your business does and is, explained Brian.
What I've learned so far is that Stamina's in trouble because you focused more on the architecture of your office than the architecture of your culture.
I understand, said Sam. There's a different feeling at work now. I wouldn't say negative, but distant. Is that what you mean?
That's another part of your culture, replied Brian.
It's a feeling, but it's also something others experience using your business. And this experience is created by the actions of the people who work there. When the culture is great, people are enthusiastic. With a culture like that, the customer feels it too. So your business is like an orange. When it gets squeezed, culture is the juice that comes out. If you don't like the taste, it's time to change the juice.
That makes sense, said Sam. But how do I know if I have a culture? It's not something I've covered with my team.
Well, you have a culture whether you like it or not.
And the biggest mistake is not to design the culture you want. If you don't design Stamina's culture, someone else will. And when culture's treated like an afterthought, trouble follows closely behind. Now that it's caught up with you, it's easy to recognize. Got any quick suggestions?
Well, there aren't quick fixes, because developing culture's a long process, answered Brian.
I have a lesson from my grandfather. He was a boxer. While fighting in a tournament, he won his first three fights, and before the final round of the final, his coach saw he was tired. The coach leaned over the ropes and yelled, "This isn't the end of the fight, it's the beginning."
I understand. So, what can I do?
I have one suggestion.
I'm all ears, replied Sam.
Stop owning your company.
What do you mean?
When we met, replied Brian, you said you own Stamina. As CEO, your job isn't to own Stamina, it's to lead it. You're the leader, so the culture is your responsibility. And getting your culture right will produce your most valuable asset, ownership by your people. Your job isn't creating software, it's creating your culture first. Problems have happened because it's the last thing on your mind.
You're right, said Sam. I haven't been a leader, and I definitely haven't designed the culture I'd like to have.
Thanks. This really helped.
Would you like to meet about culture? Asked Brian.
You bet.
Good. Meet me at Arthur's this Friday at 9 a.m. You know the place?
Who doesn't? Replied Sam.
Exactly, said Brian. And I won't waste your time. Investing in culture will be your best investment.
I want to be up front, said Sam. As for investing, we don't have a budget for consulting.
Don't worry about money. You can afford my coffee and bagel, right?
Yeah, I can cover that, laughed Sam.
Then you got yourself a culture coach, kid.
Chapter 3. Brick Walls. As Brian walked the campus, different landmarks acted as muses. A statue reminded him of the day he got the head coaching job. The auditorium prompted thoughts of the days when his girls had graduated. The lakeside bench where Kelly would meet him for lunch made him wonder if she waited on a bench for him somewhere. Memory Lane ended at the stadium. After climbing the stairs, he smiled at the newly placed placard on his old office. Marcus Chase, head football coach.
Knock, knock, called Brian. Is the new head coach around?
Hey, Coach, exclaimed Marcus, seated at his desk. He's around, but he should be out recruiting.
As Brian removed his
sample complete. Ready to continue?